Tonight, I feel like I'm going to preach a very quick message this evening. I don't have a lot to say. There's a lot in this passage. But I feel like I'm going to talk specifically about one verse tonight. It's unusual for me to do that. Usually, we take a large passage and we'll go verse by verse through it. But, of course, this is Luke 23. It's the crucifixion of Jesus. As we get ready for the resurrection Sunday, it might be good for all of us to pick up reading in John chapter 13 and read to John 21. Or pick up in Matthew chapter 26 and read the last three chapters of Matthew. Or Mark 14 through 16. Or Luke chapter 22 through chapter 24. And get our heart marinated with the sufferings of Jesus, the price that was paid. This chapter amazes me. There are several actors, name by name. Of course, Jesus being the main actor, and then we have Pilate. Pilate was someone who let an innocent man be condemned. He let a guilty man be released. He made friends with a wicked man, Herod, over the decision of Jesus. Herod, he killed John the Baptist. He was immoral. He was an adulterer. And he did not take well to being confronted with his sin. And when he got a chance to be with Jesus, they showed me a trick. Want to see a miracle. Want to get him to talk, get him to show him something. And kind of these two men most likely are in hell today. Been there for 2,000 years and will be forever separated from God for their decisions to reject Jesus. And yet he was so close to them. And I think about these wicked men. I think that's awful. But occasionally I think there are Christians who are real close to Jesus, but they rejected him. And I don't want that are not saved. You look like Christians. You act like a Judas. Want to make sure you know you're saved and God knows you. It's really important. These two guys were right. They faced Jesus in the last few hours of his human life, and yet still rejected him. In this story, you have Barabbas, a fellow who was a known criminal and a murderer and seditionist, and yet he was released. And I don't know what happened to Barabbas. I would love to know that he felt really bad about what had happened and thought that I'm released as a criminal for a man who's innocent, but we don't know that. We don't have the story on that. Have many other people in this particular passage of Scripture. There are nine altogether. There's the malefactor on the one side that said, if you're Jesus and you're God and you're God's son, get me off the cross, get yourself off the cross. And the other malefactor, the other thief said, hey, look, we're up here for obvious reasons. We're thieves. We've broken the law. This guy had done nothing amiss. He corrects his friend and then says, look, Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? We find Joseph of Arimathea who as soon as the afternoon was over, he hung on the cross from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. The first 3 hours punished by man, the last 3 hours punished by God. And it pleased God to bruise him, because through his stripes we could be healed. Three miracles took place real quickly when Jesus was on the cross in those 3 hours when he cried out, give up the ghost. The light went out. The middle of the day, noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a miracle. It turned as dark as a midnight. And Jesus God put on him the iniquity of us all. Second miracle was the beautiful 60-foot tall, as thick as a man's hand, veil that separated the holy holy, 60-foot long, and it split from top to bottom. No man could have ever torn it. It was torn by God. It was a miracle. But opening up opportunities for people who are like us to have direct access to God without having a high priest. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And of course, the centurion, as he said, surely this is a righteous man, as he gave up the ghost. Beautiful things here. And then Joseph of Arimathea going right to Pilate. Pilate, Joseph was not one, and Nicodemus was not one with the Sanhedrin. They'd obviously have separated, but as soon as he realized he didn't want the Sanhedrin or the high priest or the chief priests and the scribes to just pull him and throw him into the grave, that a potter's field someplace, or take his body out to Gehenna and burn it in the fires or the trash dump. He quickly went into Pilate and said, "Pilate, I want the body. And I'll take the body and I'll dispose of it. I'll take care of it in a tomb. I need that opportunity." And Pilate may be guilty with all that has gone on in his own heart. Three times he appealed to them. "Come on, why? What evil hath this man done?" But he said, "Yeah, that'd be the least of it." He got to dig into the chief priests and the scribes by putting up the superscription there that this is Jesus, King of the Jews, so everyone could read it. And all the people were involved. The Greeks were involved. The Romans were involved. The Jews were involved. It wasn't like just one group. Everybody. Because he's not just a payment for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. You were represented at the cross. I was represented at the cross. There he paid for a sin, but he got him off, and Nicodemus helped him. As they lowered that cross down and began to pull the nails out and pull his tendons and pull that back and take him, and they would scrub his body. And the ladies would help them, and they would put some myrrh and all the things that were on there, wrap him up and put him in that borrowed tomb. I'm glad it was a borrowed tomb. You want to pay for something you're going to use for 3 days, right? And I'm glad he would come and be resurrected. It's beautiful. But I want you to notice here, there's another actor that's kind of unique, and his name is Simon, the Cyrene. Would you look at verse 26, would you? And the Bible says, "And as they led him away," this is Jesus, Pilate delivers them to do whatever they wanted to do with him, and he released Barabbas. "And as they led him away, they laid hold on Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Lord, in just a moment, I just want to share a few thoughts about this particular story. I pray that you'd put a holy hush, and there's a few folks that are talking, but I pray that you would help them to stop or take their conversation elsewhere. I pray that, God, you would please work in our hearts as we think about this guy. He's one of nine individuals that you mentioned in this story. And a unique guy. We don't know a lot about him, but what we do understand is he stepped into a situation he wasn't expected. And he had to carry something he wasn't prepared for that day. It was an unexpected cross. We'll all have to do that to some extent. I pray you'd help us, to help our church family. I love them so much. I'm so honored to be in this church at this time of history. We got our issues. We're not perfect. But I believe, God, there's something in this message tonight you want us to take with us. Please help us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I was talking to Mike Rikus several months ago, and he gave the thought of the unexpected cross. And I thought about that a lot. I've read this story many times, but here they have let Barabbas go. Pilate's washed his hands and say, "Do whatever you want to do. You got the guards. You got the Roman soldiers. Go. Go to Golgotha." And on the way there, Jesus, the Bible doesn't say he stumbled or fell, but obviously he's got sleep deprivation. He's been up all night. He's been punched repeatedly in the face, blindfolded. He's been marched from where they captured him in Gethsemane to Annas' house and stayed there all night being aggravated and pushed, and then taken to Pilate and pushed around by people there, and then to Herod, and then they push him back, and the men of war mock him and make fun of him and deride him and despise him and set him at naught, the Bible says. Then he comes back, and then he's brutally whipped by the cat of nine tails. 39 times a trained soldier takes a whip with nine strands on it and begins to wrap it around him and then pull back and fillet his flesh. Many men would die right there, oftentimes being disemboweled and looking at their intestines and their stomach and all of that right there at their feet. Jesus went through that, and then from there, with all the mockery and the frustration, they make him carry his own cross. And as he goes down the Via Dolorosa or wherever it is on his way to Golgotha, I know where they think it is. I don't know if it's true or not. But as they go there and go to the place of the skull, it's not a first-time thing. People have been crucified before, but this one's different. We see there's ladies off to the side crying. And he tells them, as he carries the cross, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Not only for what's going to happen in a few days in Jerusalem when Titus will come in and demolish the city, but prophetically thinking about what the Jews are going to go through in the tribulation period. And that's going to be, could be in our lifetime, and I would be very surprised if it's not. It's amazing how that Israel is coming to focus and is playing right into God's hand. Nothing that's happening right now on the world stage is any surprise to God, and I think it is the most heinous men. He can use Nebuchadnezzar, he can use Herod, he can use anybody. He can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And he is playing right into God's hand. However, we see that in the process, they stop and it looks like they bodily compel one man who just meandered into town from a foreign country of Cyrene, Simon. He seems to be along the pathway, and I don't know if he's a slave in the Roman Empire. Some people believe that he may have been, but they compel a guy. They take a guy and say, hey, you! Come help him. As people derided and mocked him, and others cried, and others stood afar off. You, get over here. Help him carry the cross. And this guy, Simon, picks up the cross and he begins to carry it with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think he woke up that morning and said, oh, I'm going to be carrying a cross today. And the cross is, you know, today we make it in jewelry and put it on earrings and necklaces. We have one in this room here. It's a symbol of our forgiveness and liberty that God gave us. But really it's an instrument of torture where they lifted him up between heaven and earth. If the Jews would have killed him, they would have stoned him. But Jesus already reminds us that as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew that he would not be stoned. He would be crucified, lifted between heaven and earth, suspended for you and I as a mediator for us. But this guy walks into an unexpected cross that he's going to carry. And you know, by virtue of being in a sin-cursed world, in a fallen world we live in, every one of us from time to time will come to situations of unexpected challenges, crosses. They look different to every person. Many of you we could talk together and you could tell me when it hit your world. When you just thought another day. Linda and I could tell you how we woke up on August the 15th thinking 2008 is just another day. And would know that by the end of that day we'd be planning a funeral for our son. An unexpected thing. It was not expected. We have two of our members in the emergency room this afternoon. As we speak, they thought they were going to be in church tonight. But they have an unexpected challenge. And that comes to everybody. This guy had an unexpected cross. And I want to just talk to you about a couple unexpected things that sometimes might be just because we're human that happen. The unexpected cross of rejection. Everybody has it from time to time. It's painful. To love and not be loved back. To care and no one cares. To want to be accepted and you get rejected. It's an unexpected cross, and almost everybody wants to have somebody care about them, or you want to fit in and you still like you just continue to stand out. Some of you have the unexpected cross of loneliness. It's just, you just get tired of just being by yourself. You've got that feelings of incompleteness and challenge, and it's frustrating. It seems like it's just painstaking to go through the feelings of loneliness. And it wasn't what you planned. It was an unexpected thing. You thought by now things would be different. But you find yourself alone. Or maybe some of you have lost a spouse and you're alone again. It's very painful, challenging. I think there's other unexpected crosses of physical ailments and pain. Most of us, we don't think about pain. I don't at this present time. I may one day. I have sweet friends that, man, they are just as healthy as I feel like I am today. But in a matter of just a few minutes, pain has crippled them. And they live with, it's not when they hurt, or if they hurt, they hurt all the time. And there are people right around us this evening who've got pain in their joints and pain in their neck, pain in their back. They've got pain internally. They're having lupus or ALS or other things, that fibromyalgia, and things that just, it's not easy to sit in a service for an hour and a half. And you and I, we don't think about it. We look forward to it. We're fine. We're good. But they have an unexpected cross of physical ailment. Something they didn't think that was going to be. At one time, I think about our dear brother, Brother Ben Turner, up in Vancouver. Played sports. Grew up in Tennessee, and everything was fine. Went to college here, met Miss Becky, and went to Vancouver. 23 years he's been serving Christ up there. But now he can't even stand up without assistance. He's got pain all over his body. He's trying to pastor a church and trying to purchase a building. He's miserable. He's got more questions than answers. Talked to a precious mom yesterday with a little child, but lives with a continual headache. Pushes a walker around, immobile. Can't seem to get enough rest to be a wife and a mom. It's not what she wanted, not what she thought she would ever have. It's an unexpected cross. Some of us, we get the unexpected cross of discouragement because someone that we admired and loved hurt us, disappointed us, hurt themselves. They forgot about a law you cannot break, the law of sowing and reaping. And their decisions has affected us adversely. And it disappoints us terribly. I just didn't think this would ever happen. I didn't think that person. I remember many times. Because the longer you live, the more the carnage of sin gets complicated. And by the way, that's why you need to keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Men will fail you. The middle verse of the Bible, they tell me in Psalm 118, 8 and 9, it's better to put trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. And it's foolish. Not one place in the Bible does it say, you know, churches, trust your pastor. Husbands, trust your wives. Wives, trust your husbands. It's matter of fact, it's reminding you, look, we're all but dust. We're all a bunch of dirt pots. We all are fallen. And we'll hurt each other, but some folks have been really wounded by unexpected crosses of disappointment, difficulties. Some have the unexpected cross of caring for someone. Sometimes a caretaker, we have got scores of them in this ministry, that they would love to be here tonight, but they're taking care of a 48-year-old disabled or a 40-year-old disabled adult that they've been watching their whole life. Someone who's gone through disabilities and they take care of them. They still, even though they're 40, they still feed them their meals. And they still have to help them with their hygiene. They still have to shower them every day. Moms taking care of children. And then there's some of you who are taking care of your parents. It was not what you thought would have to have happen to you. You didn't think your living room would turn into a convalescent hospital. You didn't think you'd have a hospital bed in your where you used to have your couch in your entertainment center. But you have an unexpected cross of caring for someone that's going through a difficult time. And I think about this man. I think of that he didn't wake up that morning thinking, I'm going to be carrying a cross. He was just there, a bystander from Cyrene, showing up in Jerusalem, probably to worship, probably to see what was going on, or just to come. And then before he knows it, he's got blood on his shoulders and his hands, and people are throwing things at Jesus and cursing him, and he's been forced into a situation he wasn't ready for. I think some folks will have the unexpected cross of seasons of ministry of life that you thought by now things would be different with your adult children. You thought by now that you would have reconciled with them and the kids, and you'd be able to be with the grandkids and everything would be fine, and yet now it's just strained. We got people in this room that don't even know where their adult children are right now. They don't communicate with them. It's an unexpected cross, and I've described a few things. But I just think that it's a beautiful thing here that of all the actors, there's one verse given to this guy, Simon. It's interesting to me that he's potentially mentioned two other times in the Bible. Mark tells us in chapter 15, verse 21, that Simon had two boys, Alexander and Rufus. He had two sons. He was a father of two boys. Interesting about that, in Romans chapter 16, verse number 13, you'll see that Rufus was someone that Paul mentioned. Rufus was not a common name, they tell me in my reading. But he wasn't a common name, but I think it's a beautiful thing that this guy, whatever he went through that day, his unexpected cross, this Rufus guy went on to live for the Lord. He went on, even though his dad had something very disappointing happen to him, and unexpected cross, the guy bore the cross. And he passed on a beautiful testimony to his son. Now, sometimes I've watched people, and I don't want to be like this, and I don't want you to be like this. People that spend all their life focused on a couple things done to them at the expense of all the many things that God has done for them. And they get the root of bitterness. It scours their brow. They can't smile. They feel like everything is all over them. It's too hard to be them. But I don't know what Simon was. I'm looking forward to meeting him one day. But whatever he did, he had two boys that seemed to go on and live for the Lord. I think it's a beautiful thing. Another thing that may have happened in Acts chapter 13, you might remember there were five men who pastored and ministered in that church. They were partners together. It was Saul and Barnabas, and it was a guy named Lucius and a guy named Simon. And Simon and Lucius were from Cyrene. This fella, it seemed to, whatever it came to, he trusted the Lord with that and potentially was one of the leaders of the church that sent out Paul and Barnabas into world evangelism. One of the guys who had to take on more unexpected crosses when two of the best servants of Christ in that church had to leave under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. He probably went through a ministry season of unexpected responsibility. That's about all I have to say tonight. I don't think there's anything else I need to say, because if the shoe fits, you need to wear it. And if you find yourself wearing an unexpected, coming into a situation that's unexpected to you, doesn't meet your expectations, can I tell you that God loves you? Just like he loves Simon. And God has a future for you. It's miserable maybe at this season. You got more questions than answers. I'm sure Simon thought, what? I just came into the country. You're carrying a cross, dude. Get over here. Well, I didn't see this happening. But he was carrying an unexpected cross. And if you've got an unexpected cross you're carrying tonight, may I tell you, God loves you. He cares about you. And people are watching you while you carry your cross. They're watching you. There are kids that are coming after you on the heels that need daddy to carry his cross. Need mama to carry her cross. They need a Sunday school teacher, a deacon to carry the cross. Honor the Lord. And then there may be a place of ministry that you'll look back, and I could just imagine if Simon possibly was in that church at Antioch, I'll bet he's told that story a million times. You're not going to believe what happened to me one day. I meandered in Jerusalem thinking I was just going to be one of the masses, and I became one of many, real quick, carrying an unexpected cross. God loves us. He's way too wise to be mistaken. He's way too good to be unkind. If you find yourself in a situation where you got more questions than answers, I think it'd be a good idea for us to say, Lord, I'm going to embrace this responsibility. I'm going to embrace your love for me, and I'm going to be faithful to you. Years later, this guy, his kids are referenced in the Holy Scriptures. And he is referenced as someone that led God's people in a wonderful strategic work.